Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. He has traveled the world to bring you the story. Get it first, fast, and unfiltered. Now, this is The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Fourth quarter in your mind?
They was more aggressive than we were. They played well. They were the better team tonight, and they got the win.
How disappointing is it that the opponent was more aggressive?
You know, we got to get better.
Coach talked about the fatigue. Do you think that playing
a factor? No. It's not an excuse.
You mentioned getting better. What does it mean to you to get better?
We just got to hold each other more accountable. We got to play better, and we will. I don't think we improved tonight.
So that was LeBron James talking afterwards following last night's 103-99 loss to the Toronto Raptors. No wonder it took us such a long time to get into the Cavaliers dressing room after the game. LeBron James, as it turns out, had called a players-only meeting after the loss. And it was interesting because it reminded me of, I believe it was his first year with the Miami Heat. And it was before the Super Bowl, or it was the weekend of the Super Bowl. And things were kind of, were a bit wobbly for the Heat at that time, or at least they weren't as, they hadn't really come together as a team as much as everybody thought they would. So LeBron James had the bright idea to go to head coach Eric Spoelstra and say, look, Super Bowl's on. This is a Sunday. The Heat were playing the Raptors on the Sunday. The Super Bowl's on. Instead of jumping on the charter, why don't we all just have a team party? Delay the charter departure. I know it's going to mean we're going to get in late. I think they're going on to Charlotte. We'll get in late, but let's do it anyhow. So the Miami Heat ended up as a team going to Real Sports, watching the Super Bowl. The charter was delayed. They got in the charter. They went on. And, of course, from that point on, made history. So, this isn't the first time that LeBron James has felt that he's had to say his piece or make a move to solidify his team in Toronto after a game. It was an impressive win by the Raptors last night. No Jonas Valanciunas, and I know that Cleveland was shorthanded as well, but no Jonas Valanciunas. They got a great game out of Kyle Lowry. Got a tremendous defensive performance out of Bismack Biyombo, who also chipped in late in the game offensively. You know what? This year is all about what Dwayne Casey said very early, getting this team ready to be a playoff team. I thought last night the Raptors looked like a playoff team, perhaps more than they have at any other point this season.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
Stephen Brunt's going to join me at 10 o'clock. John Paul Morosi, Jeffrey Orridge, commissioner of the Canadian Football League. They've got a football game going on in Winnipeg this weekend. It's of some importance. Renaud Lavoir, NHL insider from TVS Sports. He will join us. Carey Price, hurt again. Montreal Canadiens winning again. And at 9:40, Mark Crawford, head coach of the ZSC Lions. In other words, the guy who's the head coach of Austin Matthews, the consensus number one pick in the NHL draft. He'll join us from Switzerland, and we'll talk about Austin Matthews' season. Return to the ice after an absence. I believe he got two goals in that return for Zurich. So Mark Crawford will join us at 9:40. But before we deal with that, let's talk about the Raptors. A 103-99 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers on Drake Night. Eric Smith is our Raptors radio play-by-play voice on Sportsnet. Eric Smith joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Good morning, Eric.
Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing well. So the Raptors, you know, you kind of count your victories as the season goes on, and you kind of put little check marks beside games as the season goes on. Beating Oklahoma City was great. I liked what I saw out of the Raptors at the end of that West Coast trip, at least. I thought rallying said something about them. But you know what? When you can force LeBron James to call a players-only meeting, that's a job well done, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think it's one of those cases where if you didn't watch the game, you might look down and see LeBron James at, you know, 24 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds. Like, man, he had a pretty good game overall. But I think when you look at the fact that Damari Carroll and others held the guy to 6 of 16, the fact that they, you know, neutralized Mo Williams for a good chunk of the night, that the Raptors were able to control the Cavaliers overall defensively in a lot of different ways, shooting 50-plus percent for the ball game and just kind of, again, controlling the pace for much of the ball game. I thought it was a heck of a win. And as you say, to them, force the Cavs, to force LeBron into a players-only meeting because he thought it was that bad that they had to actually correct things before they walked out of that locker room. I think that's full marks for the Raptors for the effort that they put in last night.
And, you know, Eric, I thought the message you got in the Cavaliers' locker room after the game, not just from LeBron, but also, and in particular, I'm going to say from Tristan Thompson, the word Tristan Thompson kept using over and over again was soft. We were too soft. He was particularly concerned, I think, by the way, in the fourth quarter. I mean, they just seemed to get carved open. Kyle Lowry, Bismack Biyombo, I think there were a couple of layups at least, or one layup and a dunk where Biyombo cut in. And Thompson, as I said, used the word repeatedly, soft. We played soft. We need our bigs, even without Mozgov, we need to play tougher. Do you think the Raptors found out something about themselves last night, having that type of game without Jonas Valanciunas, where they, well, let's, essentially what Tristan Thompson is saying is they were intimidated by the Raptors.
Yeah, I think this is exactly the kind of team that Dwayne Casey has wanted for years, arguably had it maybe a couple years ago when the Raptors were a better defensive team, and obviously the pendulum swinging the other way last season. And it's come back to the defensive side, but it's not just defense. I think it's exactly what you speak of and what maybe Tristan was hinting at in terms of the toughness of the Raptors overall. And I don't know if it's fair to say, oh, it all starts because you went out and got Damari Carroll and he's a great defender and it trickles down from there. But I think he absolutely is a catalyst to a lot of what's happened. But I also think it's the buy-in from a lot of the guys, especially the returning players, to say, we know we need to be better. Because so far this year, what's been the biggest issue for the Raptors, even at 10-6? Most nights is not their defense. Mm-hmm. Their offense has not been great. The efficiency. I mean, I think they're running their plays. They're getting their stuff. They're getting looks. I think right now, they're just not executing. You look down. I know Michael Grange brought this point up to me last night. He kind of looked and said to me, how is this team 10-6 right now when you think that this guy's shooting 38%, 36%, 39%, 40%, 32%? The core guys on the Raptors have struggled offensively at this point, but I think they're winning based on their defense and their toughness, and it's the buy-in that's maybe setting the tone with a guy like Carroll, bringing a defensive presence like Corey Joseph as well, Bismack Biyombo, the new guys that came in outside of Scola, and I'm not trying to you know, rip Scola, but outside of Scola, you brought in the three guys that are rooted in defense that I think immediately changed the culture, changed the rotation, certainly, and the makeup of the team. And then now the guy that's been your best defender over the last couple of years, Terrence Ross, might be your fourth or fifth best defender, and he's had a terrible season to this point. So I just think the talent level from a defensive perspective is so much better that it changes the tone, and then it forces guys, like say a DeRozan, who might not be the best defender in the world, it forces him to at least be better, be tougher, be more in tune, and the trickle-down effect by, you know, kind of through osmosis, how that defensive tone is set.
You know, the other thing I thought was particularly important last night, you referred to Biyombo. To play the type of game he played, and I think he finished, I believe, with two personal fouls, and to be able to play the type of game he played with, you know, as well as I do, when you got LeBron James there, the referees are watching that game a little differently than they are other games. That's just the way it is. And for him to do what he did and just have two personal fouls by the end of the game. And again, I apologize. I don't have the stats in front of me. It might have been three, but I'm pretty certain it was two. I mean, that's what you call that's smart defense, isn't it?
It really is, and it's just playing under control. You know, the ability to do what you do and do it well without getting yourself into trouble against the best team in the Eastern Conference, I think that's absolutely fantastic the way he played on both ends of the floor. And the fact that you're able to get 4 or 5, get 10 points or 11 points out of Biyombo as well, to me was just an added bonus. I look at Biombo, I'm sure like a lot of people, and think, as long as you can block some shots, rebound the basketball, play some defense, you're doing your job. I don't care if you score anything. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's able to contribute, and I think a lot of that was, I remember Jeff Salmon last night asked me going into the game, we did a little preview chat, and the concern, understandably, for a lot of people with Valanciunas out is, you know, is it playing 5-on-4 with the opposition because Biombo doesn't give you a whole lot offensively? And I said to Jeff last night, I think the big thing that you need to do is play aggressive then getting into the lane, because that's going to suck in a defense. That's going to make defenders go after the ball, try and stop the ball on a Lowry drive, a DeRozan drive, et cetera. And then you'll find those handoff passes, those drop-off passes to Biombo where you can just lay it in or dunk it down. I think that's what you saw a lot last night. Biombo setting screens, then rolling to the hoop, being in ready position, hands ready for a drop-off pass from Lowry driving in, who was playing so well last night, so aggressively. And I think that's how you utilize a guy like Biombo right now, and it worked to perfection last night. There's going to be nights where you're going to absolutely miss a Valanciunas because of the size of the opposition or because you don't have a guy who you can give it into the post and create and have that threat of the big man in the post. But there's going to be other nights like last night, undersized opponent without their big man in the lineup, and you can match up well against them and force the issue. And I thought Biombo, the Raptors overall, did a great job of neutralizing what Cleveland maybe wanted to do and maybe ripping a page out of their game to some extent.
Yeah, there was a point where the Cavaliers went on a 16-0 run. I think they took it to 41-35. There was about 6:51 left in the game, and the Raptors just looked lost in their transition defense. But then all of a sudden, I don't know what it is. They seem to slow down the Cavs. I guess, and force them into an extra pass or an extra two passes.
Yeah, I think that run, if I'm not mistaken, came towards the end of that first half. And
right.
I think the 16-0 run, and again, I don't have the numbers right in front of me directly, but if I'm not mistaken, it was a 12-3 run for the Raptors after that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are those weird swings that you see in basketball so often where you can't really understand. How does the team look so bad for a 4-5-6 minute stretch and then look so good for the next couple of minutes? And I think a lot of it was when Dwayne Casey initially went to his second unit, I think there was a little bit of a dip in kind of the pace and the tone that perhaps had been set earlier by the starters. But to the credit of a lot of those core second unit guys, they got it back. Because at the end of the night, you know, you look last night, and I think, you know, I don't know if it was, Jeff, if it was a case of they were getting the day off automatically today because it was Thanksgiving, or if it was you win or at the very least put in one hell of an effort in a great game, you get the day off. You lose, we're practicing. Mm-hmm. But I think Casey recognizing that the team didn't play until Saturday, last night, all of the starters logging heavy minutes, Carroll, DeRozan, and Lowry all hovering at or just above 40 minutes. I believe James Johnson played only 5:20, something like that off the bench last night,
mm-hmm.
and Terrence Ross played only 10 minutes. So you essentially rolled with, for argument's sake, a 7-man rotation last night with the core bulk of the minutes off the bench going to Patterson and Joseph, and that's it. So you rolled heavy with the guys that were playing well, the guys that were bringing it defensively, and last night was a case of you're playing well, you're bringing the effort I need, you're playing, and you'll earn minutes, and you'll stay on the floor. And Patterson, I think, had one of the better games this season for a guy that's been struggling. Joseph didn't put up the numbers, but defensively, effort-wise, was you know, in tune and on point the way he's been all season. So I think it was a case, again, of last night where Casey just said, you're playing well, you're going to play. And Ross, no, you're not bringing it right now. You're going to see 10 minutes. I'm not getting maybe what I need from James Johnson, or I'm getting better from a Damari Carroll or others. So no offense, James, but you're not going to see the minutes tonight. And I kind of like that, knowing day off today, back to practice tomorrow, not having to play till Saturday.
In conversation with Eric Smith, our Raptors radio play-by-play voice on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. One of the other things that I think was really noticeable was Kyle Lowry's performance, not just in terms of the offensive numbers, but you know, I'm thinking in particular of that loose ball that he went after. There are games this year, or there have been games this year, Eric, where I think that his off-season regimen, the program that he was on, the training program, really manifest themselves. And I thought last night was one of those games because he finished the game playing at the same high tempo that he was playing at the start of the game and just carried it throughout the game. Now, I know he went to the locker room for a bit. I never did find out what that was about. He went to the locker room for a little bit, I believe, in the first half and came back out. But he just had as much energy at the end of the game as he did at the start of the game. I don't know if we would have seen that last year, especially in a game, Eric, where one of their big guys was missing, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think when Lowry first sort of lost the weight and transformed the body. I think that's, I mean, maybe I'm as guilty of this as others, so I don't mean to throw anybody else under the bus with it, including myself. I think the initial thought was, well, he's lost the weight, but you don't kind of, you know, in your mind think, yeah, but the weight has been transformed into muscle as well. So it's not like the guy went out and shed 30 pounds and he's a rail walking around. And it's also not like because he was perhaps, a little bit thicker before that suddenly that just means, oh, you can take the pounding. No, it might mean that you're maybe, you know, in better shape, period, right now. You've lost weight, you've transformed more muscle, you've got more speed, but you haven't lost that toughness overall to get into the lane, to take the pounding, to take the rigors of, you know, the 35, 40-plus minutes that you might have to play each night. And to his credit, he's looked fantastic through 16 games. Last night, I think, was easily the best performance on both ends of the floor overall. And hey, it's only 16 games. We haven't even gone past the one-month mark, but he doesn't seem to be showing any signs of slowing down. I think a lot of that goes to the shape that he got himself in and the way that he's been able to just be healthier, period. You know, I think whether it's the yoga, whether it's the Pilates, whether it's eating the fish, and whether it's whatever it is, you've got more energy overall, a healthier body, and hopefully the healthier body with the healthier living is also keeping you in better shape. And I don't mean shape as in terms of the body itself, how it looks, but better shape for staying healthy and being able to kind of respond and recover from even the little minor bumps and bruises that come along the way, just because you are in, again, a better shape and a healthier, fit body overall.
Eric, there's a lot of talk in the Cavaliers locker room after the game about the Eastern Conference and how it's a better conference than people have given it credit for. And I know David Blatt talked about that as well. Is it really that much better than we've seen it in some time?
I think it is, because, I mean, the more dominant teams, I believe, are still in the West. And if you take some of those West teams and throw them in the East, yeah, maybe they're immediately in that top three, four, five at the very least conversation. But I think the parity that has now come in the East, and you see it even just in the early season record-wise. You know, I looked the other day. I haven't looked this morning, but just a couple of days ago I was looking. I think there were three teams in the East that were below 500. There were seven in the West that were below 500. And I think when you think of last year's playoff teams, or even just look at the last couple of years, over the past two postseasons in the Eastern Conference, and now think of the teams that are suddenly in the conversation. The only one that's really had a major drop-off, I guess, over the last season plus is Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even within the Atlantic Division, and again, with the division championship meaning nothing now in terms of seeding, you know, the divisions themselves don't mean a whole lot. But think about, you know, Boston being back up into the picture now last season and now rolling into this year. The Knicks being in the conversation. The Bucks are there. Charlotte's better. Washington obviously continues to roll. Orlando's going to try to make some noise. I mean, all of these teams, Detroit, with Andre Drummond and the numbers that he's putting up, the teams that have kind of been on the outside looking in that have started to poke through either last season or now into this year, suddenly these teams are on the rise, but yet Cleveland hasn't taken a step back. Toronto hasn't taken a step back. Atlanta, Chicago haven't taken step backs. So there's a lot of teams now in the mix for those eight seeds, and I think that makes the East that much tougher.
Eric, we appreciate you doing this as always. Thank you.
All right, Jeff. Thank you.
It's Eric Smith, our Raptors radio play-by-play voice on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And our next game, our next Raptors game will be Sunday when the Phoenix Suns come to town. It'll be on Sportsnet Ontario, Sportsnet 1. And right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, our radio pregame show with Eric Smith and Paul Jones goes at 5:30 p.m. on Sportsnet 590. Tip-off is just after 6 p.m. Again, that's a 6 p.m. tip-off Sunday on Sportsnet Ontario, Sportsnet 1, and Sportsnet 590, The Fan, as the Raptors take on the Phoenix Suns. And, again, a good performance by the Raptors last night to beat the Cavaliers. Yes, the Cavaliers don't have Kyrie Irving. They don't have their big guy either. But the Raptors are without Jonas Valanciunas. So in some ways, I think it's a bit of a, I was going to say it's a bit of a soft, but let's face it, Kyrie Irving is a pretty significant part of that team. And even though LeBron James didn't want to lay the blame for last night's loss at the feet of fatigue or being shorthanded, even though his coach went there, which was a little surprising. the fact of the matter is Kyrie Irving is a huge, huge absence for that team. The Cavaliers are expected to get Kyrie Irving back in the second week of December, sometime around December 10th. But in the meantime, if you're the Raptors, job well done. And so far this year, I think we've seen a couple of signature Raptors games, haven't we? We've seen them beat Oklahoma City on the road, and we've seen them beat Cleveland at home. And to the point where LeBron James felt that he needed to call a closed-door meeting last night. Mark Crawford, the head coach of the ZSC Lions, the Swiss team that Austin Matthews is playing for, will join us at 9:40. An interesting story in Austin Matthews, of course. He is a consensus number one pick in this year's NHL draft. Decided to play professionally in Switzerland as opposed to going to college or going to junior. And a move that I think for a lot of people makes a lot of sense if you're the right type of kid and if you have the right type of family support. And Austin Matthews has been lucky. His mother and his sister have been living with him in Switzerland. He's been taking university courses online at the University of Nebraska. And it really seems as if it was the right decision for him. He was hurt. He's come back. He's getting a little taste of what life is like as a professional. But he's not getting that taste to the same degree he would be getting it in the NHL. It's almost as if he's kind of gradually working his way in to the professional ranks, playing in Switzerland. Different scheduling, more time for practicing, very short road trips, such as they are. I believe the longest road trip is an hour or more, just slightly more than an hour. So I think it's a great move for the kid, and it appears to be paying off. Mark Crawford is Austin Matthews' head coach, and Mark Crawford will join us when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
So, of course, while we're sitting here celebrating the Raptors win at 12:05 a.m. last night, or this morning, James Johnson of the Raptors sent out the following tweet. The hashtag was mood. He said underutilized. Now, I don't know if being underutilized can be a mood necessarily, but I think James Johnson probably felt that in Jonas Valanciunas' absence, he was due to get more time. And in point of fact, he's essentially become Dwayne Casey's, become plan, even with Valanciunas out, he's like plan B at three different positions for Dwayne Casey. And I understand that why James Johnson would feel underutilized. But I've also got to wonder about the timing. You've just beaten the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, LeBron has called a team meeting because he was so pissed off at how the Cavaliers played. You've got the Cavaliers talking about, at least some members of the Cavaliers talking about how they were too soft against the Raptors. And here comes a dude tweeting that he feels underutilized. I mean, I'm sure he does. I'm sure James Johnson feels underutilized. But here's the thing. As Dwayne Casey has said from the start, it's about figuring out what his best options are going to be with this team come playoff time. And I think the addition of Damari Carroll alone probably should have been a signal to James Johnson that his minutes were going to be cut down. You know, you couple in the fact that Luis Scola and Bismack Biyombo have kind of earned Dwayne Casey's confidence. And I think it's understandable that if you're James Johnson, your time is going to be cut down. But I will say this about James Johnson. James Johnson's had his chances in this team. I don't think James Johnson is under the impression that he can be an everyday starter in the NBA. I don't think anybody is, let alone James Johnson. But I think if you are James Johnson, you have to realize what this year is about for the Toronto Raptors. And you got to realize what the goal is at the end of the year. And I don't think there are too many people out there, or I should say, I think there are probably people out there who could be convinced that James Johnson still can play a fairly meaningful role at this team with this team at some point during the season. It is a long season. Guys are going to get hurt. So I understand why he would feel underutilized, but I'd also caution James Johnson and tell him, you know, it's a long year. And who knows how the rotation is going to shake out. Terrence Ross has not been able to step up off the bench and perform the role that Dwayne Casey needs him to perform. Not just wants him to perform, but needs him to perform. And I'll tell you what, if I'm James Johnson, as long as Terrence Ross is on the team, I'm thinking I got a chance. I'm thinking I got a chance to move my way up in the rotation because I don't trust Terrence Ross right now. I certainly don't trust him as a bench player. I don't trust him as someone who can come in and necessarily make a significant impact defensively or offensively off the bench. I just don't. It may come. But for the Toronto Raptors this year, I don't think there's a whole lot of desire to sit around and wait for what might happen. So I guess what I'm saying to James Johnson is bide your time. I mean, you've been through this before with Dwayne Casey. We've known in the past, and you think about the reasons James Johnson was originally let go by this team. At this stage of James Johnson's career, the best thing he can do, frankly, is be quiet, accept the hand he's been dealt, and move on. And sending out tweets after you've beaten the Cleveland Cavaliers, #mood underutilized. It's just pointless. There's no context. And to send it out before you basically have an off day and to let it just kind of float out in the Twitter sphere all day, to let it sit there and become something that somebody is going to have to address after you've just beaten the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's just a bad decision. You can chalk it up to frustration, but it's still a bad decision by a professional athlete. I'm sure it's presented Dwayne Casey with something he'd rather not deal with. On to Auston Matthews. In most people's mind, the consensus likely first choice in the NHL draft this year kind of chose the road less traveled. Decided to go over to Europe to play hockey as opposed to going to college or going the junior route. I have friends, guys I went to high school with, guys I went to university with, who ended up going over to Europe to play hockey and had a great time, loved it, loved the competition. Came back, and I mean this with all due respect, came back much more interesting people than when they went over. I think this is for the right kid with the right upbringing, with the right sensibilities, I think this can be a really, really good thing. Mark Crawford is the head coach of the Zurich Lions, the ZSC Lions. Mark Crawford joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Mark, thanks so much for doing this.
Glad to be on. I think you're absolutely right. It does take the right kind of person. Austin's a very mature young man. He has the benefit of having his mom living here full time with him. And on top of that, I think it really goes with ability. And he is a highly, highly talented young man. He's going to be very, very worthy of being a top pick in the NHL draft this upcoming June.
Well, and he certainly seemed to, with that back injury that he had, he certainly seems to have rehabbed it properly and come back in pretty good form, hasn't he?
Yeah, he really has. He played actually three games with the injury. So, first of all, he shows you his ability to battle through some difficulty. I don't think many players would have played knowing the injury that he had, and we didn't realize that it was quite as severe an injury until, again, it showed up in the second MRI that we took of it. So, he's come back. He played really well last night. He scored two outstanding goals, and actually he made a mistake very early in the game, and they scored a goal, but it got reviewed and got overturned. And from that point on, he was even more impressive with how he played defensively. He was so determined on the defensive side, and I think that's what endears him to his teammates. He's a kid that's a quick study, and he tries to do the right thing most of the time, which is a very nice attribute to have at a young age.
Mark, what was it about this kid early on, or when you talked to him and his family, that made you think that, okay, this is a guy who could do very well in our program? This is a guy who could enhance our program, obviously, but also a guy who could learn and grow in our program. What type of character trait, what type of mindset does it take for a player to come over, to go over to Europe at that young age and be successful? Maturity would be one, I would think, but is there something else as well?
Well, I think you have to have a certain amount of talent. For Austin to come over, he had to be an import. So in the Swiss League, you're only allowed four imports, and those four imports have to be impact players. Again, it really does start and end with talent. We had the ability, because he was playing the World Under 18 in Switzerland, to watch him play. I watched him three times in that tournament, and we got a chance to see him play against many of the players who play for us that were playing for the Swiss team. So from that standpoint, we got to make the comparison, and he was by far the best. He was MVP in that tournament, was really, really outstanding. And I guess from that point, with the people here, we just basically came to a very easy decision that yes, he would be an impact player. Yes, he would be a player that was worthy of being an import in the Swiss National A League. And my opinion was that he was going to be very good very quickly. And he's absolutely done that. He came in, and right away he was really good. And I would say, after two or three games, he's become one of the premier players in the league.
Do you have to have a certain element of curiosity about you two in order to do this? You know what I mean? To sort of embrace the idea that you are going overseas to another country to play hockey at a young age?
Yeah, I think for sure you do. You have to have an open mind. And, I think with Pat Brisson and Judd, his agent out of California, they recognized that this was a different opportunity for him. And we presented, like anybody who's recruiting, the reasons why we thought it would be really good for him. He's playing against older competition. He's playing against bigger and stronger people, which he will be doing. And quite honestly, he would have been doing had he been born 2 days sooner.
Right.
He probably would be playing for the Buffalo Sabres or for sure the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that he was 2 days away from being eligible for the 2015 draft, wasn't he? If he was born in September, he was born September 17th. It was 2 days too late.
Yeah, and so, you know, having looked at that, you're saying we started just making the comparisons for him. You know, you can play in an NHL system. You can play for a coach who's coached extensively in the NHL. I think all of those things kind of went into the decision for Austin and his representatives, Pat Brisson. And we're glad that he's made the decision to come to Zurich. It really helps our program, first and foremost, because he's a great person. And notwithstanding, he's a great player. I said it earlier, he became an impact player immediately. And right now, he's one of the premier players in the league. Last night, he came in, he scored two beautiful goals, showed his hands, showed his speed, showed his ability to carry his speed through the neutral zone. And then, as I said earlier, he also showed some great defensive awareness. So he's learning, he's growing. He's a very driven young man. He's got all the attributes that a lot of the great players that I've had in the past have. And one of the main things he has is a desire to get better every day, which is just, you know, that's so wonderful to see.
We're in conversation with Mark Crawford. How has, even in the brief time he's been there, what have you noticed that has changed about his game? Is there anything in particular?
I would say that the biggest thing that's changed in his game is just awareness of positioning. He's a very tall kid, you know, so he's probably 6'2", 6'3". And a lot of times he would pick pucks away from players, you know, which means, like, you know, he'd reach around and kind of grab it. And as you get higher in level and players protect the puck a little bit more, you can't do that anymore. So I think learning how he has to be positionally and then put him in a position to use his great stick skills. He's got a real active stick defensively, and offensively he does things at a high speed that I'm amazed by it. And I've had some really good players at a young age, whether it was Peter Forsberg, Jamie Benn, the Sedins, Anze Kopitar. This guy has better stick skills and better puck protection skills than any of those guys had at the same age. He really, really has a great ability to carry his speed through the neutral zone. He's difficult to defend against, so he will translate into a number one center in the National Hockey League for sure. And we're hoping that he continues to progress, he continues to improve, and he continues to help our team do what he wants to do. He loves to win. He doesn't like to lose, I can tell you that much. He doesn't. He's one of those people who has excellent at the forefront of everything that he's about. And as I said earlier, that's what all NHL clubs are looking for. This is a guy that you can certainly build your franchise around.
Mark, very quickly, do you have any idea if he will be playing in the World Juniors? Has that been decided yet?
Oh, absolutely.
That's, he will be.
Part of the,
okay.
Part of the whole package was he's leaving on the 14th of December to head down with Ron Wilson and the U.S. Team. They play in Boston for a week, and then they go over to Finland, play a couple of exhibition games, and then they're in the same pool as the Canadians and the Swiss. So it'd actually be very, very interesting pool.
Mark, it was great of you to do this. Thanks so much. Be well.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
It's Mark Crawford, head coach of the Zurich Lions, the ZSC Lions, and Austin Matthews, head coach. So he said he missed 2 weeks with a back injury. He's come back, played very well, 2 goals in his first game back. And he's got 10 goals and 7 assists in 14 games, 2 penalty minutes for the Lions. And he is an interesting case study. You know, as Mark Crawford pointed out, basically born 2 days too late for the NHL draft. So think about it. It's entirely possible. Well, it could have been possible that Austin Matthews, Jack Eichel, and Connor McDavid were in the same draft. which would be absolutely outrageous. And clearly at home playing with grown men, which is a great sign. If you're an NHL team looking at the possibility of taking this kid. Stephen Brunt will join us. John Paul Morosi, Jordan Heath Rawlings, deputy editor of Sportsnet Magazine. He'll be along to preview the Thanksgiving triple header we will have for you on Sportsnet Ontario today. Eagles and Lions at 12:30. Panthers and Cowboys at 4:30. Bears and Packers at 8 p.m. Jeffrey Orge, commissioner of the Canadian Football League, will be along. And Renault Lavoie, our NHL insider, will join us. Carey Price, hurt again last night. Montreal Canadiens still managed to win. We'll get Ren's update on Carey Price. All that ahead in the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.